All right, Job 42, verses 16 and 17. And what might appear to some to be the last possible sermon we could extract from the book of Job, but we may have one more later this month. Verses 16 and 17 of Job chapter 42. Hear the word of our God. After this, Job lived 140 years. And saw his sons and their sons to the fourth generation. So Job died, being old and full of days. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, it has been a long and arduous journey, but here we come to the end of the text of Job. There are some further thoughts and reflections we do want to take up next time. But here we reach the end of it. Job's life ending as it began, in blessing and in the light of God's judgment. Job's life ends here as it began, in blessing and in the light of God's judgment. Firstly, we see something that points very clearly to the time in which Job's life was set. As Hal Jones says in his teaching on Job, we don't know when it was written, but we know when it was set. We don't know who wrote Job. We don't know if there were notes taken that were later developed into the whole book of Job. We don't know how inspiration worked or through whom it worked exactly to bring us the text of Job. But we do know that inspiration worked. And so we do have it. And so there are markers in the text, and Job's lifespan is one of them. Firstly, we see Job lived 140 years. Now, that might be in total. That might be after exactly the events that happened. But we see clearly that this is in the patriarchal era. This is set sometime between the flood of Noah and the time of Abraham. As you look at Genesis chapter 11, and I'd encourage you to look there because it's a lengthy passage, and I'm not going to read all of it, but you can browse over it as we talk about it here for a moment. Genesis chapter 11, we have the Tower of Babel, and then we have Shem's descendants and Terah's descendants. And as you scroll down through this genealogy, you notice that there's a pretty common amount of time for each of these lives. So Shem was 100 years old, and 2 years after the flood, he became the father of Arphaxad. Shem lived after the birth of Arphaxad 500 years, and then the ages begin to diminish generation by generation. There's some a little up, a little down. But eventually, we come down to Terah living 70 years, becoming the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and then it giving Terah's generations there. And so we see that this is the kind of lifespan that the closer you get to Abraham, the closer 140 years or 180 years, whatever Job's ultimate lifespan was, that's the time in which Job would have lived. There are other markers too, as far as once Abraham is on the scene and God zeroes in on Abraham, that a lot of peripheral revelation and sacrifice and things goes by the wayside. So in Genesis 25, we see these are the years of Abraham's life that he lived 175 years. Ishmael lived 137 years. He breathed his last and died, and he was gathered to his people. Now, the days of Isaac were 180 years. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the years of Jacob's life were 147 years. Some of you may have moved older, later age, and you think, oh, I'm too old to move. Well, Jacob was 130 years old when he moved down to Egypt, and was there 17 years. So Job lived a patriarchal lifespan, which tells us the timing, the setting of this book in a kind of ultimate sense. Secondly, we see that Job saw his sons to the fourth generation. Not only did he live a long time, he lived with a lot of blessing by seeing his kids again and his grandkids and great-grandkids and so on. This points us back to the first chapter of Job, to an ongoing concern of Job's, which I can't imagine was any different as he saw these new generations coming forth. And that is in verse 5 of Job chapter 1, where we read, "Now when the days of feasting had run their course," remember, each of the brothers would take a turn, seven brothers, and they would invite their sisters along, and they would feast, and they would celebrate. "Now when the days of feasting had run their course, Job sent and sanctified them. He would rise up early in the morning, and he would offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all, because Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job would do always." And I believe that that always carried through to the always of seeing his family from one generation to the next and to the next. This reminds me of Brother Morris Reed out in Sterling, Kansas, who would pray morning and night for every single one of his kids, their spouses, their children, their children's spouses, their children, by name. He would lift each one of them up before the throne of grace, asking for God to bless them. He would do so for all of the kids of the church, for all of the unborn kids of the church, so that by the time your kid came out, he or she had been prayed for hundreds of times by this one dear gentleman. And you always pray that they would be of sound body and of sound mind, and that they would come to know the Lord at a young age. Brothers and sisters, we need this faithfulness in our church. We need this type of ongoing concern. The good news is we don't have to offer sacrifices for our children or our grandchildren or the children of our church. That one sacrifice has been offered, but the concern still needs to be there, that we are praying for them, that we are reaching out to them, that we are discipling them and encouraging them in the faith and in the word and in the sacraments and in prayer. Job saw his sons to the fourth generation. I have an inkling by the time Grandpa Job got up into those years, he was doing a lot of sacrificing. There was a lot of blood being spilt. But he lived to that ripe old age, and he was faithful to the end. This also reminds me of my grandfather, Gail, who turned 100 this week. His greatest frustration is as he preaches the gospel person to person in that old folks' home there in Fostoria, Ohio, that there's just not a lot of spiritual interest. They don't understand the gravity of Christ in their life. And may each of us be so faithful at 100 years of age. Well, thirdly, we see that Job died. Job did die. Take encouragement, saints. Think of all that Job went through. And he didn't die until it was the Lord's time for him to die. John Porter is back in hospital care. Last time he was in the hospital, they had his procedure, and someone, I guess, along the way in the medical team had made the comment, "You're living on borrowed time," because he was supposed to live only a week at that point, and he lived longer than a week. And then a Christian doctor came in the room and reminded him, "You're not living on borrowed time, you're living on the Lord's time. You will die, but you will die when the Lord intends for you to die." If only all of our medical care teams would have such a perspective. Job died. We're reminded in Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28. "As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this comes the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to save those who eagerly wait for him." I think this is a beautiful couplet of verses in light of Job's life, who lived a long life. He did die, and he died, and he saw his Savior for whom he had eagerly waited. Job himself professed that he would see his Savior, that he would see the one whom his soul loved. And we're reminded in the larger catechism, in the same section that we heard from some this morning, shall all men die? You'd think we'd figure this out. There's a one-to-one ratio of birth to deaths so far in the history of humanity. Death being threatened as the wages of sin, it is appointed unto all men once to die, for that all have sinned. And we're reminded of Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death has spread to all men because all have sinned. This is the fate of all men, to die once and then stand before Christ in judgment. Young people, listen to me. Right now, you have the world by the tail. The world is your burrito. You have your entire life ahead of you. But you must remember that you don't determine how long that life is. Kids, listen. You will die someday. It may be of what we call old age. It may be in some tragic, sudden way at a young age. We don't know. But you'll hear many times when celebrities die, "Oh, they were taken too soon." There's no such thing. We are taken when God intends, because He has written down every single one of your days before the first one existed, before you were even a glimmer in your daddy's eye. The Lord had established each one of your days. And even at a young age, young people, you need to consider, am I prepared to meet the Lord? Am I prepared to stand before the Lord in judgment? Because that is my destiny. It is appointed. There is an appointment in your calendar book. Any calendar book that you buy, there's one appointment written in there already for you. And it is the day that you will stand before the Lord to give an account for your life. And young people, please hear me. Will you be found in Christ? That is the question of your life. Will you be in Him? Or will you try to stand on your own before Him? And you can read all of Scripture. I do not recommend trying to stand before the God of the universe without being clothed in the robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ. You will be consumed. Job died, and we will die too. And we must be prepared. We must be prepared. Are you ready to stand before the Lord? Fourthly and finally, we see that Job died old and full of days. This is near poetic language in Scripture. It's not just talking about age and gray hairs or white hairs or no hairs. It's talking about the blessing of God on a life, and we are reminded that Job died in blessing. He died in blessing. 1 Chronicles 23, we read of David's death. Now, David was old and full of days when he made Solomon his son king over Israel. Genesis 35, and Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. 2 Chronicles 24, then Jehoiada became old and full of days and died. He was 130 years old when he died. And even Father Abraham, we read in Genesis 25, then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. Listen, I've challenged you with the reality that you will die. Will you die in the Lord? Will you die full of blessing? That doesn't mean will you die with your bank account full and your retirement portfolio fully stocked and with a fridge full of food and with a casserole in the oven. That's not what we're talking about here. In a certain sense, who cares if you die peacefully in your sleep with all of those things true for you, if immediately after death you are in torment forever? And on the flip side of that, who cares if you're drawn and quartered or on the rack or under the guillotine or wherever? Who cares if you die the most horrific, tragic death, if immediately afterward you are ushered into the peaceful presence of the Lord for all eternity? Brothers and sisters, this is the perspective that the faithful martyrs had. When they counted their life here as nothing because they knew the priority was on the life to come. All the things that we find so important and so necessary in this life we know are but a vapor, are but a shadow of the life to come. It's not that there aren't any important things here. It's not that people don't need to eat, especially if they're little. They need to eat. They need to be clothed. But the priority isn't on this life. The priority is on the life to come and dying in the blessing of the Lord. For Job, that blessing was made evident by the restoration of the wealth twofold that he had had before all of this tragedy befell him. That might not be the case for you. You might die twice as poor as you've ever been. But that doesn't mean you can't or won't die full of blessing as you live in the Lord and die in the Lord. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and their sons to the fourth generation. So Job died, being old and full of days. It seems so boring almost. It seems so nondescript, but these are the closing words of a life blessed and built on the gospel. These are the closing words of a life lived for Christ as He saw and understood. These are the closing words of a life with an ongoing concern for the sanctity and the sanctification of the generations to come. And brothers and sisters, I desire that this should be the closing words of your life, that you die old and full of days, that you die under the Lord's blessing, seeing the faithfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ from generation to generation. Stand with me as we pray.